Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. And, if you see on YouTube, I'm not in any of the usual places. Coming at you today from Indianapolis, Indiana, because I'm going to Fever Aces tonight, and we're going on Friday too. And we decided to take a trip, and, the boss said, that's fine as long as you still do the show. And so thus, I'm in a hotel room in Indianapolis, Indiana, doing the old radio show. Happy to do it, though. Happy to be here on a day where we hear Dan Quinn's first Wednesday press conference of the season. And the super producer, Anthony Haney, has informed me it was quite the long one. It was, Anthony, you said that DQ spoke for about 30 minutes today?
Yeah, it was 26 minutes, 38 seconds to be exact. So just giving you guys a heads up of what to look forward to if you actually go listen to the presser.
Yeah, but see, you don't have to do all that. You don't have to listen to 26 minutes. What did you say, 26 minutes, 38 seconds?
Yes, sir.
I've been in a lot of Wednesday pressers. That's a long Wednesday presser. You don't have to listen to all that. We're going to give you the best of, because not only did Dan Quinn speak today, no, Jaden Daniels spoke today, and we actually think that he had perhaps – some more interesting things to say. So I want to start with Jaden and kind of, you know, we obviously did our film review yesterday on Take Command, and we also did it, you know, we let you hear some of it here on the show, and all of that is fine and dandy. But what did he learn when he watched the film? Because there's been a talking point that, you know, basically Jaden needs to, it's unsustainable, right? The offense, you can't possibly... you can't possibly run Jaden Daniels this much. How could you? It's irresponsible, the play calling. Is Cliff Kingsbury and Dan Quinn going to get Jaden Daniels killed? And I don't think that's an accurate reflection of how the game was actually called. With that said, it is certainly how it played out, where he was running far more than anybody anticipated, than they want. And so if that's the case, what responsibility do they have to kind of blend, let's call it, the reality of how these games might play out as he's early on in his progression and learning to read defenses and, you know, is told, hey, get through your progressions quickly, and he understands what that means, and knowing that when he gets to the end of possible throws, he's going to run. Okay, well, if we know that's going to happen a number of times per game, do we then have a responsibility to, say, throw more screens or just run the football and maybe take some of the read option stuff and just make it a straight handoff and live with the, you know, the possibility that we're giving up a chance at a big play if he pulls it and runs, but that's one less hit that we know he's not going to take. But it starts with understanding where Jaden is in his progression. So here's Daniels today when John Keim asked him, like, what did you actually see when you watched the tape?
Yeah, I mean, I could learn and I could grow in every aspect of my game. Obviously, you know, like I said, after the game, I graded myself hard. We didn't get the win. So, you know, it's kind of like, all right, we go back and watch the film. You watch the tape. It's never as good as you thought it was and never as bad as you thought it was. So you just move on. You learn from those lessons that you learned on tape. Take the coaching and move on to next week.
It's funny to hear him say that. It's never as good as you think it was. It never is as bad as you thought it was. And I think that can probably actually be applied as someone who's now watched a fair amount of tape in his media career. It's so funny to me how when you watch tape, all 22 around the league, like the margins of how good and bad teams are shrink real big, and everyone fits in a pretty narrow window of good and bad. It's just that the margins in this league are so small, and you really come to appreciate it that, you know, it really is a couple of plays here, a couple of plays there. And that can be both, you know, hey, I had a really great game. Oh, wow, I maybe got lucky on a couple of plays. It's not quite as good as I thought. And it could have maybe even been better. Like, no quarterback has ever played a perfect game. You could say on a bad game, like, oh, man, it's just, you know, I know better. It's not that bad. Like, we're fine, or I got unlucky, or they got us, but we know how to plan for it next time. Like, it never winds up being as bad after you watch the tape. But also sometimes within a game, you're like, oh, man, I really goofed up that play. And you go back and watch it, and you're like, nah, they just got us there. Or you're like, that was a, you know, I made the right play, and then you notice another guy that was open, or, you know, something you didn't see pre-snap, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I should have read the other side of the field, and if I had done that, I would have had a touchdown. So I think that idea that Jaden's talking about, that's going to be a learning process for him as a young player, for as mature and as advanced as he is, he still has played one NFL football game. And so it is both a, hey, like, some of this game was not as good as I thought. Some of this game was not as bad as I thought. But it's also something that week over week is going to be interesting to follow. Of course, it all gets reduced into this, I don't want to call it a narrative, but like this talking point, this thing that gets discussed of, is he running too much? Is this sustainable? And again, I would tell you, based off the actual film, he shouldn't have run that much. That was not a design. That was like a bug, not a feature. Yes, they ran him some intentionally, and I think there's a couple of those design runs later in the game where I'm like, hey, you're probably not winning here. Let's just avoid him taking some hits. But by and large, they did not run him a grotesque amount on purpose, and there are plenty of plays where he should have very easily had other options to not run. And I will also say he did a fairly good job of like getting down and getting out of bounds too. It's not like he ran it 16 times and took 16 hits. And the biggest hit he took was in the pocket when Cornelius Lucas got beat the one like really bad snap that he had and got blasted from the blind side, fumbled, and thankfully Tyler Biadasz fell on the football. But Scott Abraham from ABC7 asked him, like, what do you think about that balance of running too much, so to speak, that has become the talking point around the Commanders this week?
Jaden, this week a lot has been made of your 16 rushing attempts in your first game. The processing there, it's so quick, obviously, during the middle of the game. What are you seeing when you think of, like, okay, I got to tuck it and run? Well, like, what are you looking for to make you want to, you know, I got to use my legs here?
I'll just say based off the situation. Obviously, that's like situational things. You know, you kind of just go from there. I can't really tell. It's like an instinctual thing, feel thing. Like, hey, the time is up. Obviously, you don't want to get hit by 300-pound plus people. So, you know, it's kind of just like a, that's kind of growing up my whole life, man. It's like just an instinct. Like, that time, that clock in your head is like, all right, it's time to go.
I think it is a perfectly reasonable answer. And I think it's one that also is going to evolve over time, because having the clock is good. We've seen quarterbacks who don't have the clock. We saw last year a quarterback whose clock was not exactly finely tuned, right? Sam Howell stood in the pocket too long. He didn't have a great feel of when it was time to go, because Sam had really great escapability and he had the ability to throw on the run and like do all these things. But sometimes he just stood there too long, or sometimes he would actually invite pressure by stepping the wrong way or not taking a drop back at the right angle, aka most of the time in, you know, drop back passing, straight back behind the center. He'd fade to one side or the other, and that would cause issues with the protection. And so with Jaden having that pocket feel, understanding where the middle of the pocket is, and ultimately that clock being finely tuned, is a positive quality. The question that is going to remain for him, and that should evolve, or the answer to this question should evolve over time, starting this week against the Giants, is what happens when that clock goes off? Do you run, or do you bow out, extend the play, keep your eyes upfield? Because there's, you know, sometimes it was the right decision to get out of the pocket, but it wasn't necessarily the right decision to take off and run. Like the first scramble of the game, one, if he just backpedals a little bit, he probably can find Terry McLaurin on a crosser. That's one after watching it again and again. talking with Logan about it, rewatching it, et cetera. I initially had that down as a good scramble. I don't think it's a bad scramble because there's pressure pretty quickly, but it's not an optimal scramble. And when he gets out of the pocket, he has, I think it's Austin Eckler right in front of him. Just throw the ball to Eckler. You don't need to run it. Just get the ball to Eckler and let him try to make the play. It's 3rd and 21. You don't need to take a chance there with you running the football. And I think on that one, he winds up running out of bounds, but I think he takes a shot as he does. So ultimately, you know, if I have the details of that, whatever. But the concept is when you get out of the pocket, what happens? Is it 1, 2, 3, even you get through the progression and run? Or is it, let me extend the play and see if I can find something big down the field, which is something that we saw him do quite a bit in camp. But the game that we saw on Sunday against Tampa was far more reminiscent of a lot of the stuff we saw on tape at LSU. So can he become the guy that he was in camp or become the guy he was in camp when the lights are on for real Sunday at, I can't believe I'm saying this, Northwest Field. Yes, that's what it's called now. Don't forget, it's not FedEx anymore. It's not Commander's Field. Northwest Field against the Giants on Sunday. When we get back on the Hoffman Show, more from Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn as both of them spoke today. And then coming up at 4:30, a deeper dive into the tape on the defensive side of the ball. We'll take some of what Logan said on Take Command and flush it out in terms of what we need to see moving forward, because while all we want to talk about all year long is Jaden Daniels, the bigger issue in the context of the game on Sunday was that that defense gave up 37 points. Why? And does it actually fit into a larger trend that we saw around the NFL? We'll discuss as we go in hour number one of the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.